Yeah, once again, welcome to church. Nice to see all of you today. All right, so we are in the series called Gospel Explained. All right, yeah, I was thinking, what series, TV series, Netflix series? No, we're in a church series, Gospel Explained. All right, so last week, Pastor actually preached about the Romans Road, talking about how the gospel, you know, it's the gospel, the story of the gospel, how Paul wrote in the Romans chapter 9 and 10 as well, on the gospel specific. All right, so previously, you know, back in all the other chapters of the series, you know, the series was more on in detail about the gospel, what the gospel is all about, you know, why we need to be saved, you know, why it's important for us to preach the gospel as well. So that was the gospel explained, you know. So today we're going to go to the new block, all right. That was the gospel mission last week, okay? So today we're going to actually move into a new block called the Gospel Express, meaning to say, how do we express the gospel? How do we tell out the gospel to people? How do we, you know, disseminate the gospel, all right? So that's today, yeah, Gospel Express, starting the new block right now. And then, yeah, so today we're going to talk about gifts of grace in Romans 12, all right? So today we're going to look at Romans 12. Okay, Romans 12, for some of you, very familiar verse. Okay, so in Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You know, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And we move on to verse 3 to 5. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone coming among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we may have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And the last part is verses chapter 6 to 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word that's given, even in Romans chapter 12. Lord, we just want to go in depth into Romans chapter 12 to see how, Lord, we can become a living sacrifice for you, as well as serving one another, as well as putting the gospel into place, into works as well, Lord, Father God. Lord, today, even as we gather in church, Lord, let this time be a time of learning and a time of reflection as well on your serving and to serve you as well. Father God, we want to pray that you bless all of us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, you know, Romans 12, verse 1 to 8, it actually falls into two parts. All right. In verse 1 to 2, you know, Paul announces some instructions to the Romans. You know, that, you know, in verse 1, it says, he's actually giving announcement. You know, instructions. He's actually announcing some instructions to the Romans, you know, telling them how to live their life, how to live day by day in a way that is consistent with the gospel that he has preached from chapter 1 up until chapter 11. So, from chapter 1 up to chapter 11, he stressed on the gospel. What is it all about? And then chapter 2, for chapter 12 onwards, it's an application. How Paul wants the Roman church to act, or how they want them to continue on, you know, to live, how they want to live. So, at the same time, you know, God has started to renew the minds of the people from after, you know, chapter 1 to chapter 11, how they, from the gospel, they're changing their mentality. You know, he stressed a lot about how the Jews versus the Gentiles, how, you know, you guys cannot be, even though you're different, but you guys must have the same mind, same goal. And so that is when Paul actually instructed them, say, you guys have already starting to renew your minds. All right? So do continue on, you know? Continue on. You know, God is equipping you to be transformed, you know, from living in rebellion against Him to living in a way that pleases God. So that's the story of our lives, right? So all the times, you know, we find ourselves rebel against this, rebel against your parents first, all the teens, you know, rebel teachers and teens to your parents, then the government, then your work or whatever. But, you know, it's human nature. All right. So, So that is what he was saying. Okay. So Paul instructs the Romans on how to live day by day. And then in verse 3, Paul describes how Romans should engage with humility and enthusiasm in their roles in the community. Meaning to say, you know, you guys renew your minds already, right? You guys have different thinking already, right? Different mentality now. You guys should have the what God asked you to the minds that God given to you already. So now, you guys have to put into action. You know, you cannot just, I changed my mind already, then I'm here. I'm doing nothing. I'm just, you know, I'm doing the same thing as what I'm doing previously. But that is how then Paul is instructing them to say, okay, you guys, be humble, be enthusiastic, go and do your works. And then in verse 4 to 5, he illustrates what he means with an analogy between the community and the human body. Meaning to say he used the human body as an analogy, okay, to teach people, hey, you guys are important. Even this one is important. You are important. Everyone is important. Everyone has a role to play. All right. And then lastly, in verse 6 to 8, he then states the list of gifts that emphasizes the humility and heartfelt enthusiasm with each, every one of us here or everyone during the Roman time, they can perform. All right. So that's that. Okay. So, but, you know, today, right, we want to answer some questions. You know, we want to answer some questions based on Romans 12. You know, how to live, like what Paul said. How do we do that instead? How do we live sacrifice, living sacrifice? How do we living sacrifice? How do we join together in a church? How do we come together and serve together? And how do we play our roles? So these are some of the questions we want to answer. So what it means to be living sacrifice? You know, how our attitudes can make a big difference. And how, you know, Paul's word in the verses help Christians to be more unified. How all of this is very important in expressing the gospel, in telling people about the gospel. All right, so it's not just you read the gospel and then you keep it to yourself. That is the most selfish thing to do. So you read the gospel, you change your mind, and then your mind is transformed. And then what you do? What should you do? You should go out and tell people. I always tell my teens, you know, if you eaten the best burger in the world, will you keep it to yourself? No, right? I will tell my best friend, hey, bro, this burger, best, you know, yeah. So you go tell them, say next week I'm bringing you, tomorrow I'll bring you the burger, you know. So it's like that, you know. You don't just keep your burger unless you say, I want to keep the burger because later the burger store too crowded. Then I need to wait very long. Is it like that? You think like that? I don't want to tell people about the church so that I go to church so that people don't come to my church and crowd the lift. Is it like that? No, that's not how it goes. You know, that's the wrong mentality. All right, so let God allow you to change first. All right, so we want to answer some questions. You know, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice today? All right, so number one, first, we offer our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Number one. All right, so during the Roman times, during the Jewish, as you read from Old Testament and all that, during the Israelites, when they worship with a living sacrifice. They bring a literal goat or a lamb that is unblemished, they bring it to God, you know, and they sacrifice for their sins, you know. But this is not what Paul said meant, you know, in the scripture. He's not saying that, oh, you guys must bring a goat to God. No, don't bring a goat to church, okay? Don't bring a dog also to church. Okay, so, yeah. So, living sacrifice meaning. All right, let's read. Okay, Romans 12:1 says, appeal I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. All right. So, you know, bodies. God say, use your bodies. Oh man, I have to go to church and cut my finger off at the door. He said, bodies, huh? Is it that wise, that man? No, that's not it. Okay, so Paul, in this scripture, it says, in our bodies that we offer as a sacrifice. But does it really mean physical body? Okay, no, God, he actually meant this Greek word called soma. Okay, soma. Everyone say soma. Soma, okay. Soma. So, what does it really mean, this word soma? So, you know, number one, okay, if you are, if he meant the word sarx, which is in Greek, is called flesh, physical body. If he wrote sarx, then our church will be very different today. Okay? Our church will come and then you cut some blood for God, or you have to do, you know, maybe a fingernail, I don't know, but you know, you have to sacrifice something from your body if you say the word sarx in the Bible, in the Romans letter. But no, he meant the word soma, which literally translates to identity. What is your identity in the society? You know? Like, Pastor, previously he said, during the past messages, he said, if you are an accountant, are you a Christian accountant? Or are you an accountant who is a Christian? Or are you, you know, if you're a teacher, do you call yourself a Christian teacher? Or do you call yourself a teacher who is a Christian first? So that's the difference. You know, so I got one funny story last time. People ask me, because I'm very well versed with, I really like animals, so I like to watch National Geographic when I was young and all that. People ask me, is whale shark a shark or a whale? Let me ask you guys, is a whale shark, you know, is it a whale or a shark? Yes, correct, it's a shark. Correct. You know how English places it, right? Is that, you know, you are, the first is your adjective. Then the second one is what you are, the identity, the noun that you are, you know? Right. So it's a shark. That's right. So if you're a Christian first, then your teacher, who is a Christian, you are an engineer, Christian, or are you a Christian engineer? That's the difference. All right. So today, we're going to look at the word soma, you know, identity in the society. All right, so, and then when he talk about identity, we have to sacrifice our identity. Wow, that's powerful, right? You know, soma. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice then for the identity, you know? So, you know, in essence, right, in the end, right, the question is that, what are you worshipping? What is your priority? What you worship is what you reflect as your identity. Right? So the scriptures in the Bible that say, you are what you worship. You know, you are what you worship. So if you worship money, then your life will be all about money. Your life will be all about gaining wealth. Your life will be, you know, stocks. Your life will be foreign exchange. Everything. Day and night, you'll be looking at that, you know. Right, so you'll be looking at that, you'll be thinking of that, and then you'll say that, oh, I'm a money, I want to be rich. That is your identity already. All right, so, you know, worshipping wealth and all that, then that is what your idea, what is your idea? Is you're worshipping fame, you want to be fame, you want to be a famous influencer on TikTok. Then every day you'll be on TikTok. Every day you'll be finding media content. You'll do some stupid social experiments everywhere you go. You know, you gotta give people money, but people don't want, you know, that kind of thing. You know, there's a lot of things going on right now, you know, everywhere you go, you know, you see people. Suddenly some random guy will say, can I have money? Then if you give him money, then actually on camera and say, oh, actually it's a social experiment. Then after that, they'll give you 200. Thank you for being kind. We want to show people they are kind. But actually it's all for the gram. It's all for the views, okay? So, so a lot of it is like that. Fame, are you doing it out of real kindness? Or are you doing it for views, for likes? Right? So, the young people nowadays, that's what it is, you know? Alright? So, in other words, right, Paul is asking the readers to continually have a sacrificial lifestyle for God. All right, to give God the best in everything that you do, even in the event that we need to sacrifice our comfort, our ambition, and even finances. You know, so God is asking you to do your best for Him. You know, in wherever you are, even in workplace, even if in your family, with your friends, if you do the best for God, you know, that's what Paul is asking them to be a sacrifice, the all the lifestyles, all the old lifestyle that you have, but have a new sacrificial lifestyle for God, you know. All right, so the more questions I have for you is, what are you sacrificing for? Are you sacrificing your bodies for God? Or are you sacrificing for money, pleasure, ambition, and etc., all the things in the world? So I want you guys to think, this is for you guys to have a reflection on yourself as well. You know, when you talk about living sacrifice, what are you sacrificing? All right, so God, Paul right now is saying that you should sacrifice for God, lifestyle, a sacrificial lifestyle for God in anything that you do, not just in church, but wherever you are, you know, in your marketplace, in your schools, in your campuses, right? Okay, so that's number one, offer our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. That's how we want to answer the question, all right, of how to live sacrificially. And number two is to think with a renewed and sensible mind. You know, the second part of Romans, verse 2 and 3, it says, you know, do not be conformed, but be renewed. All right, so think with a renewed and sensible mind. So be humble. This is the second thing that Paul is asking us to do. All right, so Romans 12, 2, verse 3, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. All right, so, you know, in this verse, it's very clear, is, you know, what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, you know, your mind is renewed. Now you have to think. You have to do what is the will of God. You have to test. You have to be transformed, okay? And then next, you know, you have to, same thing about your mind. Sometimes, right, we think that, oh, we are better already. Wow, I got six packs already. Then I go, you know, wow, I'm better than everyone. Oh, you guys, oh, you know I have six packs, I'm better than you. No. So that's what Paul is saying. No, don't do like that. You know, wow, you serve in so many of these, you're better if you, because that's what the Jewish people were thinking that time. You know, there were Jewish and the Gentiles. The Jewish were saying, oh, I do all these traditions. I have God covenant with me. I'm better than you, Gentiles. That's what the Jews think. They say, I'm better than you because I have God. God is on my side. God, I'm God's chosen people. And I observe this, I observe that, I observe the traditions, I observe the law and everything. Then then Paul said, no, that's not the point. Then Gentiles, on the other hand, is saying, you Jews rejected Christ himself, then how are you better than me? I'm better than you because I have a life. And I have a new life, new covenant with God, that kind of thing. So those were they were butt heads. They were butting heads. So in this sense, he's saying after from chapters 1 to 11, he's already saying so many things about that. So now he's repeating himself again. He says, don't think you're better than anyone. He's just saying, you know, don't think you're better than anyone, all right? So how, according to Paul, might our attitude make a big difference as we express our gifts? So, you know, this is the attitude that Paul is saying, you know, you should not have. Don't think of highly of yourself. That's what Paul is saying, all right? So instead, you know, our mission is, instead of conforming to this world, let's have a renewed mind. Renewed mind meaning to say, we are refreshed, you know. God is renewing our minds every day with the gospel. And instead of thinking highly of ourselves, let's think wisely. Let's think sensibly. You know, nobody is better than anyone. Everyone is their own. Okay? You have your own skills. I can be better than you in some certain areas, but you can be better than me in 1,000 more areas. All right, so not everyone has their own role to play. Okay, you cannot compare. Okay, maybe your heart will say, let's talk about the human body. You say my heart, the most important one is the heart. Then the brain will say, no, the brain is more important. Then the stomach will say, no, the stomach is more important. Then after that, the little finger will say, no, I'm the most important. You know, so no, everyone has a role to play, and you know. Paul is saying, don't have that mindset to think that you're better. All right? There's this quote by this World War II general, Charles de Gaulle. He says, don't think of yourself as indispensable or infallible. The cemeteries of the world are full of indispensable men. Well, in the end, well, we all go to the grave. Okay? So, you know, indispensable men. You know, the queen just passed away. Now everyone thought the queen can live until so long. Then even the prince, already 70 over years old, now only he's the king, you know. So nobody's indispensable. As such, all of us, our bodies, all of us here, you know, to the church, you know, we have a role to play as well. Okay? So that's where I'm going next. Okay, so in Romans 12, 3, this is the NLT version. Okay, just a little bit of perspective on a different translation. It says, be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. So in all sense, just be humble. Be humble. Don't think highly of yourself. You know, in all the things that you do, you know, don't self-praise, you know, or, you know, be humble. So, you know, of course, church is also one of the most places, the best places where mostly everyone's humble. We do it together. We don't, you know, do it for our own interests, but we do it for God. All right? So, yeah. In other words, you know, we are called to be equipped to think with humility and sound judgment about the role that God has given us. All right? Not to have an over-competitive spirit that is like our current society as well. So, in the Paul is also saying, you know, don't be over-competitive as well. You know, sometimes being competitive is good to a certain level. All right, meaning to say you are pushing each other to be better. You're pushing each other to rise above. You know, just like how Federer and Nadal, they push each other. Now Federer just retired. All right, they push each other to be better. Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi, they're friends, but they're the best players. They're goats. You know, for those who watch football, you know, they're goats. So they push each other to be better. It's not because they are overly competitive, but they're friends. If they're overly competitive, they wouldn't have a friendship. They'll be like, I hate you, man. You took all my awards away. You won all the awards. None left for me. I hate you. That will be what they say. But no, they're friends. You know? All right. So what if I told you it's not a competition? Yeah, it's not a competition. Right. Serving God is not a competition. Okay? So don't think that, I'm a better singer than you. You're a better singer. Oh, cannot. I need to be better than you. No, it's not a competition. All right? So, yeah. So recap. You know, today, as we offer our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, we have a sacrificial lifestyle for God. Then we start to have a role in the community. Okay? And then at the same time, when we have that role, we have to have a good mindset, have a good attitude. We have to think with a renewed and sensible mind. We have to be sensible and be humble. Don't be over competitive. All right? And then, the last part, the last point I would like to just point out is, you know, the question that they ask, you know, how can we serve God? You know, how can we serve? How can we be a blessing to others? How can we express the gospel in action-wise? Okay? So we serve by using the God-given gifts of grace. Okay? All right, so all of the gifts that we have today is God-given, we feel. I mean, we agree, right? It's all God-given. You know, if you can sing, it's God-given. If you can play the drums, it's God-given. Okay? Of course, practice comes along. Okay? Practice comes along, and it's and truly, God is the one that gives you the enthusiasm, the passion, the training as well, putting place people in your life to train you, and also to help you, right? So these are all God-given gifts, all right? So, yeah, in Romans 4:6, let's just read again. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function. So we, though many, all of us are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Right, we all have different gifts, differ. All right, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. All right, so Paul actually listed out all these things for us. You know, just like each member. Okay, how do Paul help us to be more unified? Okay, so what Paul's intention in these verses is that he wants to help us to be unified as one body as well. Okay, so just like each member of the human body has its function. Just now I say the heart. It's better, or we do the comparison. Okay, so each and every one of us have a role to play in the church. Okay, so same. All right, your brain has a role to play. Your heart has a role to play. Your muscles, your arteries, your everything. Okay, you would be incomplete if you have one missing member, right? So of course, you know, even your little finger has a role to play. The fingernail on your little finger has a role to play. Your hair on your head has a role to play. All right, so all of this, you know, if you are missing a member, then it will be incomplete. So just like one body, Paul is asking the readers, the Romans during that time, say, just like the body, he's making a comparison here, you know, to further elaborate the point that we need to be unified. In the end, I'm one body. My hair is also part of my one body. Okay? You cannot fight against each other. If you fight against each other, something it shuts down, then you lose your life, just as the body says. Alright, so yeah. Then exactly. So that's what it really meant. So how do we in the end, right? So as we are part of one body of Christ in the church, so how do we offer ourselves? Okay, how do we serve? Okay, we serve in the church using the gifts that God has given us. So that is what Paul is saying as well. So he listed down all the giftings, prophecy, exhortation, teaching, serving, all of this that you can do. Do it for God. You know? So the spiritual act of worship that we are to offer to God is demonstrated when we serve one another in the church and the people in this world. Okay, not just in the church, but others as well. You make disciples. You honor Him. You honor God. So all the four T's that we honor God with, our time, our temple, our treasure, and lastly, talent. So today is a talent that we want to talk about. What is the talent that you have? If your talent is shaking hands, yes, that's the best place for you. Ushers, you shake hands, come. Okay, now fist bump. Now can already. I can shake hands already. I think can already, right? I think it's more acceptable now, right? Okay, with COVID and everything. But now fist bump, shake hands, still good. Okay, if you can. If you are good at greeting people, saying hello with a smile. If you're good at smiling, ushers, we need your smile. Huh. All right, if you're good in singing, well, even better. Let's come on stage. We audition, okay? And then we come up and then we serve together. We worship the Lord. If you're good in playing piano, come. We need people to serve the church. We need people together, and we need people to serve one another as well. All right, so, but which ministry can you serve in? I say, the answer is all of them. All of them. All right, so, all means what? What other ministries that we have? Okay, so, church ministries. These are some of the church ministries that you can serve in. If you love technology or you have a creative side, meaning to say, you can make videos, you can do photography, or you love computers, you love engineering, sound, wires, whatever. Tech team needs your help. Yeah, tech team. Where's the tech team at? Yeah, woo. They're all at the background, so serious. They're like that. Don't disturb me. I'm doing all this kidding. All right, so yeah, that's their tech team. We need a tech team. The background, the people behind. So how does your the slides run? How does the lights go? How does the sound come up? Don't ask me, ask the team. Okay, all right. So we do it together. We learn, you know, we do it. We learn how to be to handle the tech. Worship. You love singing. Or you're talented in playing any musical instrument. Come, by all means. All right. So if you say, oh, I classical one. I play classical music only. Only piano, classical. We can convert you, don't worry. Okay, we have all, I said Deborah and Isaac. See, last time they started classical as well. Now they're playing contemporary, no problem. Chords, everything, by ear. Let's give a hand to the worship team. Right, today's worship was amazing, okay? Let's give a shout out to Jaden. Teens represent for the drums. Yeah, see? 14 years old, Jerome and Jaden. They are now scheduled in the main service already. 14 years old. Wow, let's give them a hand, right? So, amazing. So, if you can play, just play. Just come, surf. Right, so if you love singing, all the more. I can train you some more. Okay. Alright, so come. Let's do it together. Alright, so if you love people, you love meeting people, new people. You love to greet people, you love to serve people, you like to, you know, talk to people. Usher ministry. Okay? Go and see Manny. Where's Manny? Manny can put yes, Manny at the back. All with the yellow tag on. Those are your ushers. Let's give the ushers a hand as well for arranging everything from early morning. They come everything until today, until the end. Okay? They are the ushers. They help to serve you guys. So if you love meeting new people, join the ushers. Alright. Then next. These are all life groups already. Family life groups. Okay, family life groups, where are you at? Woo! Auntie Sue and Uncle Edwin. Yeah. If you love to serve in family life groups, you have a family yourself, you have a young family, or doesn't matter, or you have a family that you want to raise, yeah, serve in the family life group as well. We can if you have a heart to serve. You know, you learn, you have a willing heart to learn. You know, we can absolutely make you as leaders. We can absolutely train you up as leaders. You, if you submit and commit as well. And we can train you as leaders to lead the next generation of families. Young families, old families, doesn't matter. You impact the lives in the family life group. Working adults. Yeah, working adults. Woo! Yeah. Working adults just had their beach day. Pak Tam Mi Udang. Oh, sedap gila. Right, so Patam Yudang, so they went to, they just had the event there at the beach, and yeah, they had a blast, they had a good time playing games, all that, and connecting as well. So, if you're looking to impact the marketplace as well, you know, we have every last Wednesday of the month, we have a talk, you know, on leadership, on finance, and everything about the marketplace, how you can impact, influence your marketplace, that's where your workplace is. So if you're working adult, don't miss out on that. You want to serve, you say, hey, I want to help out with the last Wednesday of the month, the marketplace. I really have I want to connect my friends to learn more, you know, in the marketplace. I want to connect my colleagues to come. Then yes, come and join the working adults. All right. See people, Isaac, working adults. Isaac, Miok, Jude as well. Alright, so look for them. Say, I want to serve the working adults. Help me. I want to serve. Geng Sing, if you're Mandarin speaking, yeah, they're now having a camp. Okay, God bless them. Having a choi kai, ipo. Alright. So, but if you're more comfortable in Mandarin speaking, you know, go. Mandarin speaking, we have every second Sunday of the month, we have a live, we have a Sunday 4 p.m. service. Yes, Mandarin service. Chinese service. So if you speak Chinese, you speak Mandarin, join, come alongside, serve with them as well. They also need to serve, they also have a worship, they also need tech, they also need people to serve in the worship over there, alright? So, Geng Sing. And then, lastly, all of these young ones, teens, yeah, teens, woo! Saturday, oh, I'm like the only teen only, no, I just, yeah, alright, so teens, they're all very excited Saturday. During Saturday at 5, every Saturday at 5. So bring your teens over, okay? Yours truly will be the, they call me CEO lah, CEO, teen CEO. But, you know, I just scold them and I say, all right, don't do this, don't do that. Right, so, yeah, if you have a passion for the next generation, all right, you have a passion for the next generation, do come. Let me know. Okay, we would like to recruit some older people to mentor these young kids. You know, all the time, the younger ones, they need mentorship. They need people to speak life into them. They need people to give them guidance. They need the older ones. So if you're hard for young kids, young generation, let me know. We serve the teens together. And campus. Yeah, campus as well. Darren at the back. Okay, our campus minister. Okay, if you're looking to help change the campus, you know, our tagline for every nation is change the campus, change the world. You know, campus is where a lot of the molding happens, a lot of the breakdown of strongholds happen. Okay, campus. Okay, if you're from USM, you're from INTI, you're from KDU, where else? A lot more. SEGI, Central, all these colleges, all these unis and colleges, if you want to serve the young people there, yes, by all means. All right, so look for Darren as well. Let's do it together. Campus. Okay, change the campus, change the world. And the last one, kids. Kids, the most, you know, very important. Kids Church, Michael. He's handling the Kids Church right now, concurrently with the service. So do look at all this and see that. Think and see, all right? So for today's message, right, is meant to stir your hearts and say, wow, is it that where can I help myself? If you are just coming to church for Sunday after Sunday and just attending service, you know, and then today, after today, you feel like, okay, maybe I should help out in some areas. That's the best. All right? So if you can do that, we need people to serve, to expand God's kingdom, to bring people closer to Christ, everyone. All right? So that's a recap today. You know, the last one is serve by using the God-given gifts of grace. When you say, if you can teach, you teach. If you can serve, you serve. All right? Okay. So before I end, you know, I just want to share my personal story on serving God. You know? This is a picture from 10 years ago. Back in our old place in Queens Bay vicinity. Okay, this was, I think, 2012. We moved in 2012, right? Yeah, so right before we moved. Okay, so some of these guys, maybe you don't recognize already. Maybe you still, the pastor is behind here. I'm here. 10 kilos before. Right. Okay, so that was a mini me during that time. Okay, so this was when I started serving in church 10 over years ago. You know, the funny story about me is that, you know, I wasn't a believer yet when I started serving in church even. You know, for those who remember, you know, all the way, all those years ago, you know, I came to church when I was 16, 17 in my high school. You know, and I started befriending friends in church and I came consistently. But that time I felt that, I'm not ready yet, not ready to accept God yet, not accept. But I wanted to make myself useful anyhow. God impressed upon me in my heart that, hey, go and do something useful. Even though I wasn't a believer yet. Go and do something. Do something in the church. Help now. Don't just sit down there and don't do anything. You know, I never have that kind of mentality, you know. So do something. Don't just sit down and not do anything. So I will go to church early because, you know, I depend on some of the church members to fetch me to church, you know. Then when they have their worship practice, you know, the first thing that they needed help with the camera. A video camera. It's like a stand right here. They'll put up a video camera one. What's the video for? It's actually to connect the kids' church to the main service so that the parents can watch the kids, watch the service and at the same time do kids' church. So guess what I do? I do the camera. Yeah, I do the camera. I do the camera at the back, you know. That was when I first started. And then after that, months later, I got saved. And then slowly, you know, I had people to develop me, to teach me what to do, to be stage manager. This is all tech team. So we are in the tech team, all the young people in the tech team. I don't know what this guy is doing, so. So we are all carrying our laptops and all that to show that we are in the tech team. All right, so, yeah, then We were there then. Yeah, after that, I started learning to sing. I had someone, mentor, during that time. They were willing to teach guitar. They were willing to teach singing. So that's what I did. I went into worship team. I started in the Saturday at 5 because I was a teen back then. You know, I did the teen worship, and we started learning from there. And then it's a amazing experience ever since. And I never stopped serving since that day until today, 10 years later. So even now, it's my first time on stage. It's my first time on stage to preach the gospel, and it's just amazing, you know, how the journey went from the day one until now. Right, so, you know, but one thing that I want to say, you know, even though now I'm serving in teens every Saturday, even on worship as well, you know, it doesn't feel that it's a burden to me. It never feels like a burden because the joy of the Lord is there when you serve. All right, so one thing I would just like to say is one of the greatest joys in life is in serving the Lord. You know, that is just one thing I want to emphasize here today after all the message, everything now. So if you have never served in church, you know, I'm saying, man, you're missing out, man. You're missing out. Don't miss out, man. Don't miss out. Really. You know, if you've never served in anything, don't miss out. Start serving. You know, one of the greatest joys in life is in serving. Right? Serving God, serving others. Loving God, loving others. Right? So if you can do that, you know, that will be, our church will change, man. Our church transform, really. If all of us here can work, can do a role with our life, our church will transform. You know? Maybe we'll have every nation Butterfringy, every nation Butterworth, everywhere will be, you know. Right, so come serve with us. Let's come honor God, make disciples together. Right, so that's my message for today. You know, last thought today is let's offer our bodies in serving God by using the gift that He has given us. You know, thank you for listening in today. Yeah. And yeah, so let's end with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the life that you have given us, that the life, even the gifts that you have given us, Lord Father God. Lord, help us, God, even to be instruments to serve you. Help us, God, even to be tools to express the gospel in a way by serving people, by serving the church. Father God, even as today we think, we look back at our life, Lord, we pray that, Lord, we will have a conviction in our hearts to continue to either to start serving or to continue to serve continuously. Lord, we want to pray that even as we serve, your joy will be in us. That every day that we serve, every weekend that we serve, Lord, Father God, we will find joy in that. And Lord, you will truly give us a blessing. The blessing will be upon us even as we serve you, Lord God. Blessing in every way, every area. Lord, we want to pray that you bless everyone here today. Truly, God, we want to do something for you. We want to expand your kingdom. We want to serve you, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, Father God, to be instruments of your gospel. Lord, we want to pray this in Jesus' name. And I pray. Amen.